dead being alone. Let's just pray again. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he loved you enough to leave heaven and to shed his precious blood for our sins and selfishness. I pray, God, you give me the utterance, Lord, to speak boldly as I ought, to make known the mystery of this gospel. I pray I would help me to speak as an oracle of God and administer the ability that you give, that Jesus Christ in all things may be glorified. I pray you would open our ears and our eyes of our understanding, God. Soften and humble and break every heart, that they may receive the word of God, and you may water it, and it may bring forth fruit under the glory of your Son. I pray that not one soul would leave from under these roofs, from this tabernacle, Lord, not fully submitted to you, saved by faith, by the grace of God, committed and pledged to live a holy life, and that no one would misunderstand the truth that go forth, and that it would go forth plainly and directly, and that it would bring forth fruit, Lord, and that you would make the sinner willing to repent, make him willing to see his sin, make him willing to see his rebellion, make him willing to see the sin in his life, and how they dishonor your Son, and how they dishonor your holy name, and that if they don't turn from their sin, that they're going to die, and they're going to go to hell justly, and be rewarded for their punishment, for their lifetime of sin and transgressions against your Son, that did nothing but live and love for them and die for them and rose again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just grab this.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Just going to be just a simple gospel message. That's what the Lord laid on my heart to preach. I'm going to be talking about what is saving faith, or what is the nature of faith, and some aspects connected to it. And I'll touch on what is not faith, what is not biblical saving faith, according to the gospel, and what is biblical faith, and some things connected to it that are the most relevant in order to be truly saved and have forgiveness of sins. A lot of people across this country and the world, I'm sure, go into a house of God and don't hear the gospel, or many are raised up in it and go in it for a long period of time and never truly put faith in Jesus, saving faith in Christ. So I'm going to try to, okay. Faith is not, one thing that biblical faith is not possessing intellectual convictions concerning the gospel. So faith is not some form of knowledge that you receive and you're convinced or convicted, or you form convictions based on that knowledge. Saving faith does not consist in the mind. It does not consist in some knowledge that is in your mind. Faith is not being firmly persuaded that the doctrines in the Bible are true. That is not faith. Faith is not simply believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's not simply believing that the Bible is true. It's not believing that God gave us the Ten Commandments. It's not believing that there's a heaven and there's a hell and there's a rapture. Just believing that, knowing that, or being firmly persuaded in those doctrines is not faith. That is not gospel faith. Faith is not holding correct theological opinions. I don't know many people, especially family members, in-laws, that just fight tooth and nail about having the correct theological opinions, and so they think that they're saved because they believe, well, the Bible says once saved, always saved. Well, Jesus says this. Jesus said, and so therefore I believe that Jesus said it, and therefore I have faith because I believe that is not biblical faith. Saving faith does not consist in believing solely anything about Christ. Faith does not consist in believing about Christ. Saving faith, when the Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, it doesn't mean just believe about him. It doesn't mean hold a statement of faith. A lot of people, they've been baptized, they go to church, they believe that the statement of faith is true, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, they believe he rose from the dead, they believe he shed his blood for their sin, but one thing that they're not doing, and that's why they never have saving faith. I'm going to read another verse before I get going here. John 5:39.
Hallelujah. Come on, brother, go ahead.
John 5:39. This is an example. Start at verse 36. Amen. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he sent, him ye believe not. Well, we're going to touch on what that believe not, what that is. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. See, so the Jews were zealous in the scriptures. They were zealous with memorizing the scriptures, and Jesus, and they believed that just because they knew the scriptures, and just because they knew about the Messiah, and because they knew who the Messiah was supposed to be, they thought they had life. But he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they which testify of me. What do the scriptures do? What does the Bible do? What does the knowledge of Jesus Christ that you have, knowing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, knowing that God loved you, knowing that God is all loving and all omnipotent and gracious and merciful and kind and holy, and the knowledge of Christ and the facts in the Bible and the doctrines in the Bible are solely designed to secure your trust in him. If you stop short, you can believe the scriptures, you can believe that you can go to church, you can pay tithes, you can be baptized, you can go to church your whole life, but if you stop short of anything, if you stop short in merely believing about Christ, you'll never be saved. You'll stop short of forgiveness of sins, your soul will stop short of heaven, and your soul will go down to hell. It's not about believing about Christ. It's putting your trust in him. The testimony in the Bible, the testimony concerning Jesus Christ, the testimony that God gives of the gospel is to lead you to put your trust in him. Not in your trust in paper, but in the person. Not in your trust in the precept, but in the person. It is to secure your heart's trust in the person of Christ. The person. We don't believe in just words. We don't believe in just a doctrine. We believe in the person. Have you committed and pledged your heart in the man? Not just the message. In the man himself.
Yeah.
Not just believing in his message, but trusting in the man.
Yeah.
Don't put your trust in what you think you know, or what you think you've learned, or what you understand, but you have to trust in the person. 1 John 1:4 says, in these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have we written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's no greater joy than believing on the name of the Son of God. There's no other way to get full joy than believing on the name of the Son of God, putting your trust in him, and being biblically saved. John 1:12 says it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You believe on his name. That means you trust. You depend. You deposit your life. You depend your life upon his person.
Yeah.
Acts 16:31 said, and Paul to the jailers, and believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ. Believe on his name. Believe on him. Stand on his promises. Stand on his word. Trust on him.
Right.
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways. So now we understand some of the problems with the church today, why we have so many false converts, because when you meet a professing Christian, and they say, I'm a Christian, and they say, I believe on Jesus, what they mean is, I believe about Jesus. I believe the Bible's true. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he's born of a virgin. I believe he did miracles. But they never trust him. They just stop short and believe about him and never trust him. Why? So they can continue in their wicked life, in their sin and selfishness. And they got preachers propagating it. But God said to Ezekiel 13:22, with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not depart from his wicked way by promising him life. There is no promise of life if you stop short in trusting God and you solely believe about Him. If you're standing in a wicked life, you don't really believe. We commit our souls to Him by this faith. By this faith, we commit our souls to Him. We commit our souls' trust, dependence on Him, to Him, by faith. Suppose I was dying of a heinous disease, and a doctor came in, and my mother said, "Now, Ross, this doctor is able to heal you. He knows the prescription, he knows the medicine." And I said, "I believe." I said, "Why? I believe him. I actually trust him. But no, I'm not going to go with his medicine. I'm just going to go do something else." So, you see that would be absurd. For the patient to truly prove that he trusts the physician, he commits his health and his well-being to him, he does what needs to be done. Yeah. So, it's more than just believing that he is able and willing to heal him. More than just believing he's able and willing to provide for him that which is needed for his health, but he has to trust him. He has to say, "Okay, I'm going to trust my body, my health, my welfare, my being with that person." And it's the same with Jesus. Jesus said, 1 John 5:10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, that made him a liar, because they believe not the record that God gave of his Son." God testified about Jesus. He testified in the gospel. He gave us the Holy Bible solely for you to put your trust in Christ. If you don't believe and you don't trust and you don't obey, you're calling God right through faith. You're calling him a liar.
Come on.
God is not a man that he should lie. Now they see the Son of Man that he should repent. Well, you can believe about Christ and go to hell. A lot of people say, "Oh, I believe I'm Thursday on campus. I believe. Well, the devils also believe and tremble. Well, what causes them to tremble? The knowledge they have, the understanding they have, seeing God face to face. That causes them to tremble.
Yeah.
Is the devil going to heaven? No. Catholic, the Catholic organization, they believe, right? They believe Jesus was born of a virgin. They believe he lived. They believe he died. They believe he rose again. But what's their problem? They hadn't trusted in Christ. Well, how do you know that, Brother Ross? Because they're continuing a devoted life of works and sacraments to earn their salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not of works. So biblical saving faith does not include depending on or relying on any of your good effort, any of your works, any of your self-righteousness, your self-justification prior to coming to Jesus. Titus 3:4 says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth, not worketh, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, is born of God. Romans 4:4 says, "To him that worketh, to him that's working, the Catholics, to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Romans 10:9.
Yeah.
"If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Yeah. "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For it is written, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall not be ashamed. For he is shall not be, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." Biblical faith, the only faith that is going to save your soul, the only faith that God accepts and that God requires and that meets the biblical conditions for salvation through his only begotten Son, produces fruit. Yeah. True trust in God produces a life of loving obedience to him. Yeah. That's what trust is. You just lovingly obey. Hebrews 5:9 says, "Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." obey God. It is a conscious fact, listen, it is a conscious fact that human beings, we live and behave and walk and conduct ourselves according to what we truly believe. And somebody said, Brother Ross, my nose outside the car in the parking lot, locked, it's 100 degrees in the car, and I believe I'm going to go out there, kick, bust the door, and then get her out. If I say, Brother Ross, my nose smoke at home, Samantha, my nose at home, burning at home. And I said, well, obviously I don't believe. How do you know? Because my behavior doesn't follow accordingly. So you believe, so people behave and act according to what they believe. Human beings, we exercise our will according to what we truly believe to be true. So in fact, sinners, truly, you truly don't believe the gospel. You truly don't believe that you're going to go to hell. You truly don't believe that Jesus Christ hates sin. You truly don't believe that God is angry with you every day. Oh, you do? Well, Jesus said, go and sin no more. You believe? Act accordingly. Jesus said, you're going to die and give an account in judgment. Believe? Act accordingly. Jesus said, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. You believe in it? Act accordingly. If you believe the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, you believe it, you act accordingly. You show your appreciation. You show your love. You show your obedience.
Right.
Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
Why aren't you keeping his commandments? Jesus said in John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Yeah.
To who? To those that's obeying him, keeping his word. Jesus said in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. How do you know if a man doesn't love Jesus? How do you know if a man doesn't love God? When they disobey him.
Right.
When you sin against his son every day, that did nothing but love you, did nothing but bless you. Everything you eat come from Jesus. Everything you drink has come from Jesus.
Right.
Jesus that did nothing but love you, did nothing but bless you, did nothing but shed his blood, and yet you sin against him every day and break his laws and transgress against him.
Come on.
You truly don't believe that your sin is going to get you sent to hell. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
Right.
And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel?
Right.
He correlates belief, saint, with obeying not. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that what? Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. To be admired in them that believe. You say, I believe, but you're not obeying them, you're going to be destroyed.
Right.
Justly. You're going to burn in the eternal incinerator with the trash heap of the universe with all the disgusting sins and lying and lusting that you're holding on to.
Right.
Either let go of your sins or you're going to burn in hell with them.
Right.
God is not going to take any sin in heaven.
Right.
He's not going to take any lust in heaven.
Right.
He's not going to take any pornography in heaven. He's not going to take any premarital sex in heaven.
Right.
Any premarital fondling and groping in heaven. He's not going to take it. Turn from it or you'll be burned justly. And the saints and the ends of God is going to rejoice when God destroys all the sinners on judgment day.
Yeah.
All right,
go ahead.
We don't rejoice now because we're longing, hoping that you'll wake up and to see the sacrifice God made for you. But on that day, it's going to be rejoicing. We'll have better knowledge, we'll have better understanding. God will give you a life of mercy and grace every day. Only reason you're not in hell, because his grace, he's holding over hell in his love and mercy and grace. But it's going to come a day when his grace is going to run out. There's going to be no second chances, ma'am. There's going to be no second chances, sir.
That's it.
Faith produces fruit. Saving faith produces fruit.
Yes.
Where is your fruit? Ephesians 2:8-9 again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Saving grace produces good works. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love. Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. Faith produces a love, and your love for Jesus and a love for your neighbor that compels you and drives you to obey him out of love.
Right.
Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Right. Love is not going to drive you to sin. Acts 15:8-9 says, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith in Jesus purifies the heart. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The faith in Jesus, the hope in Jesus, purifies the... Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Hope in Jesus, faith in Jesus, purifies the heart. Faith in Jesus, hope in Jesus, secures the faith. Faith in Jesus secures what you are hoping for, and you behave and act accordingly, meeting those conditions to get what you're expecting for. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you believe Jesus Christ is coming to get you, you have a pure heart waiting for him. If you don't have a pure heart, he's not coming to get you. He's coming to destroy you. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all. God is not commanding you to do what you cannot do. He's not commanding you to do what he does. He's commanding you to do what you can do, what you're able to do. You're able to do it, but up to this point, you just are not willing to do it. You're willing. You're not. You're able to repent, but you're just not willing. You can obey God, but you're just not willing.
That's right.
If I asked Manoah, sit down, somebody can order in the bench, sit down, somebody can order in the bench. And she was able to talk. Daddy, I'm not able to. That would sound very foolish. No, you're able to. You're just not willing.
That's right.
2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion. Faith in God. It's a lot of times I see with the hundreds of people that I converse with and preach to in the past 7 years since I've been saved. Two things are always keeping a professing Christian or a church attender or just a from truly being delivered from sin. Sinners. Either lack of faith, or just you want to hold on to some pet peeve sin, and so you'll search out the ear-tickling doctrines that will allow you to hold on to that pet peeve sin. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, so in order to be saved, you have to believe that God is able to save you from your sin, from your addiction, from your lust, from your addiction of your flesh and the sin that your body loves. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
Right.
The same grace that saves you is the same grace that breaks the power and the dominion of sin in your life.
Yeah.
Believe it. Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Right, come on.
Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth, from henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin. Reckon. Believe it. Acknowledge it. Accept it. Trust. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in John 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Wait, I believe that Jesus Christ is, I believe that he's born, I believe he's born of a virgin. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he died. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Right. Amen.
That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah.
He that does, First Corinthians 6 and 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 John 3, 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that's committing sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, this is why, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy all the works of the devil.
Amen.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. How do you tell a child of God from a child of the devil? Sin. Hell is on record tonight. This morning, heaven is on record tonight. You will understand before you leave here whether you are a child before the eyes of God, whether you are a child of God, or whether you are a child of the devil. You can't be both. You can't be a child of God and a child of the devil at the same time. You can't be sinning and obeying Jesus at the same time. You can't be in the light and walking in the darkness at the same time. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Right.
Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:22 says, being then made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life, for the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The wage of sin is death.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're saved, doesn't matter whether you're filled with the Holy Ghost, doesn't matter whether you preach, doesn't matter whether you sing, doesn't matter if you're 15 years old, doesn't matter if you're 100 years old.
Come on.
Wage of sin is death.
Right.
Another fact that gives us understanding in this doctrine, a lot of people profess, I'm a Christian. I believe. Well, we've proved you don't really believe. You just hold a notion in your mind that the Bible may be true. It is a simple confession without any evidence at all. You don't know the evidence, you don't know the circumstances, you just simply believe it because, well, it sounds better to believe, because if I believe, I'm going to go to this place called heaven, and if I don't believe it, I'm going to go to some place called hell. But don't trust your soul in what you think you know, but trust in a person. Is your life producing fruit that pleases that person? Well, God's going to judge you, not according to what you say, not according to your confession, not according to your profession, but according to what you do.
Amen.
1 Peter 1:17. Pardon. Judgment according to what you do. 1 Peter 1:17. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Romans 2:6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for honor, glory, and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Isaiah 59:18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Don't deceive yourself, and thinking that your sins are forgiven, and that you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven, while you're not doing what you're hearing. Luke 11:28, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Keep it. Love it. Possess it. Cherish it. Obey it.
Right.
Jesus said, Matthew 7:24, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon a sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So, biblical faith produces fruit. It's not just believing about Christ. It's not just believing about Jesus. It's not just going to church. It is obeying him. Now, of course, you understand, we don't preach a humanistic gospel that makes it about you. So understand this. The anger that God has towards sin and towards sinners is not because you don't read the Bible. It's not because you don't go to church. The problem with your life regarding Jesus, it's not that you don't go to church. It's not that you don't read the Bible. It's not that you don't pray or you haven't been baptized. The problem of your life is that your sins dishonor your own maker. Oh. That's the problem. So you can read the Bible. You can pray. You can go to church. You can be baptized. Your mom can be an usher. Your father can be a deacon. You can preach. But if your sins and your life is dishonoring your own maker, you're going to go to hell. And you deserve to go to hell.
Yeah.
True biblical faith in Christ, trust Christ. If you trust Christ, then obey him. If you say you believe on Jesus, if you say you believe the things about Jesus, then obey him. Then walk accordingly. Walk according to the gospel. Walk according to the Bible. Walk according to this rule. It's either turn or burn. Repent or perish. Comply or fry. Holiness or hell. Jesus or sin.
Come on.
That's all, Stan. Now, God is not inviting you to repent. God is not asking you to come to this altar. God is commanding you. God commands you to come to this altar and turn from your sin. You must do it now because there's no guarantee. There's no promise that you'll ever have a second chance. There's no guarantee. You have no guarantee that you'll have a second chance more than those that are in hell have a second chance. You must turn today. You sin against God before others, then you need to confess your sin before others. You rebel against God openly, then you need to come and confess your sins openly. Jesus Christ commands you. The Bible says God now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when you come to this altar to repent, it is not about saying a little formulated prayer. It's about pledging and committing your life to God, and you make a pledge, a commitment to live and walk sin-free from this moment on. His repentance is not actually not sinning. It's about that choice. Repentance means a change of mind. You change your mind respecting sin. You change your mind respecting God. You change your mind how you feel towards sin. First, a change of mind, and the repentance also means a corresponding change of feeling. You feel differently. All the things that God hates, you hate. All the things that you love, you used to love, you now hate them. Your selfish lifestyle, your sin, your pornography, your lust, your stealing. You now turn from them, and you hate those things just as much as God hates them. And now you know, and now you love what God loves. You love the praying to God. You love worshiping God. You love praising God. You love reading the Bible. You love a holy life. You love having a clean conscience. You love doing what's right before God and before your neighbor.
Right.
Paul said, herein do I testify before God to have always a conscience clean before God and men. A clean conscience.
Yeah.
You turn. You must turn. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, having turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. You turn away from those things. You lay them down. You put the cigarettes down. You put the alcohol down. You put the drugs down. You put the wicked, hell-bound Hollywood hellraisers that you watch, you put them down. All the time wasting and the time that's betting in your life, you put them down. All the cussing, all the filthy music that God hates, that glorifies the devil and magnifies sin and magnifies and glorifies all the things that his son died for. You turn them and you burn them and you throw them away. All the magazines, you throw them away. All the provocative clothes, you throw them away. You get rid of all the sin. All the friends that took you to sin, you get rid of them.
Right.
Anything that tempts you to dishonor God, you get rid of it.
Yeah.
You turn from it. You lay it down. Everything that God has showed you in the Bible that you're supposed to obey, you now do it. All the things in the Bible that God showed you, this pleases him, you now turn it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Lay it aside. God will help you. But it's you first. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It's not God drawing nigh to you, and then you draw nigh to him. It's you turn from your sin, and you come to him, and hallelujah, he will meet you.
Yeah.
And give you grace. He will help you.
Right.
The Bible says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied.
Wow.
You can continue chasing your sin and being led along in the play of the devil, but you're never going to be satisfied with your sin and with your lust. The more lust you engage in, the more lust you're going to need to fulfill you. The Bible says, he that loveth gold, he that loveth silver, shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. There's not enough sin to satisfy your wicked flesh. There's not enough pornography to satisfy your lust. There's not enough drugs, there's not enough cigarettes to satisfy your addiction. There's not enough alcohol in the universe to satisfy your flesh and your bondage. You are in bondage. Don't misunderstand what love is. The Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. This is not hatred. This is loving. Every time I hear professing Christians say, what you're doing is hatred, all night I believe they don't know what true love is. If Samantha was in the kitchen doing dishes, I wouldn't say, honey, do the dishes. If Manoah was in a bath, in the water, washing herself, I wouldn't say that. Manoah, open the curtain and go, Manoah, nah, take a bath. Because he's taking a bath. Because he's doing addition. This is a demonstration of love. I'm not saying to put you down. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Well, if I come forward, people are going to put me up. God already knows. God wants you to turn. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God will have all men to be saved. And it's coming to the mouth of the truth. So when you come to this altar in a few minutes, you just turn. You pledge. You kneel, and then you pledge to never ever sin again. If your will is, and your flesh is tussling, you just stay there, and you pray, and you cry out. Until the flesh gives way, and God fills your soul. You confess your sins. The more and more sins you confess, the more and more sins God will bring to your mind to confess. If you don't feel like it, take time to consider your sins, and corresponding feelings will follow. Once you start considering your sins, if you think about your sins, but you have to be willing to acknowledge your rebellion. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your rebellion. Acknowledge your lostness. Acknowledge your coldness. Acknowledge that you never truly put trust in Christ. All you did was believe it. You believed about it, but you never put trust in it. And God will help you. God, give us the testimony of Jesus Christ that we may trust in him. On what grounds? We are to trust him. God, give us the testimony of Christ that we may trust him. And all that he has affirmed to us in the Bible. We ought to trust him for and because in everything, in all his relations to us. We trust him. Why? Because this is God's testimony. And God is omnipotent. And God is sovereign. And God created us. So therefore, you can trust Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. God sent his son. His son never sinned. If you don't turn from your sins today, if you walk out of this tabernacle today, and you don't come forward and repent, and you don't come forward and turn from your sin, what you're saying is, I'd rather go to hell than serve Jesus Christ. That's what you're saying. And you will indeed go to hell, and you will burn forever with all the sin, and all the drugs, and with all the dogs, and murderers, and all the thieves, and whoremongers of the underworld. You're going to burn and perish with them, because you're holding on to your sin. God didn't want you to burn. God didn't want you to perish. God wants you to be clean. God wants you to be saved. You can ignore it. You can think twice. You can second guess, but you might die tomorrow. Don't misunderstand. You might die. I preached at a service, a ceremony, outdoor service, for an ECU student that died. You go on the campus, they all hate you. Brother Ross, this priest downtown. Brother Ross, you angry, you're going to hell. Walk in the pizza shop. God sent me to the pizza shop to preach. Preach to them, they kick me out. Preacher's gonna kick me out. How about this? I didn't know this. 1 month later, somebody was in a club downtown Greenville, had a little bit too much to drink, wanted more drinks. Bouncer said, don't serve him. He got irate. Bouncer threw him out. He said, okay, I got something now. Go home, get my pistol, drive by the club, shoot randomly. Guess who died? An ECU student that I preached to, and the owner of that pizza shop that threw me out. Just months later. You don't know when you're going to die. You may say, well, people get saved at 18. Well, people go to hell at 18. People get saved at 30 years old. Well, people go to hell at 30 years old. Well, people get saved at suddenly the whole life they have them. You don't know that. Then on a campus, I was just randomly praying on a campus one day, walking, and they got the big ceremony. I say, oh man, what happened? And all the students that rejected us, spit on us, cast stones on us, told us we were going to hell. Oh, they wouldn't do that then. It was a sober moment. They're all like, Brother Ross, Brother Ross, Brother Ross, come to the podium and speak. Go ahead. Even a Methodist minister of the university said, well, I guess my sermon is preached. You don't know when they're going to die. The same student shook his fist in my face and then died with the hell just a few months later. Right. I'm closing. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now the saints are going to pray, and God commands you to come forward and repent and kneel and lovingly just commit your life and your trust to the man that loved you and died for you and rose again and was ascended into heaven and is interceding through the saints of God and through him and through the Holy Ghost that you might come and be saved and be joined to the family of God. Amen. Saints, just pray as you're led. Kneel, prostrate, wherever you want. Stand and pray. And Lord, one of these souls will come forward and repent. Oh, hallelujah.